It's good to be here tonight as we come to look at God's Word, hopefully to be encouraged, but also to be educated, to know what's going on. I had another lesson in mind in looking at it for a couple of weeks, and while I was at the table this afternoon with my daughters, and Brianna brought out something that disturbed me, actually made me weep on the inside. Of course, most of us know about the shootings that have been taking place across America in Walmart. Two, one in Memphis and another one in El Paso. Just last week in California, there was a shooting, and it was a very tragic event. But Brianna told me that there was one shooting this morning, about one this morning. And I said, really? I looked it up and I said to myself, what are we doing? It's something to think about. And so immediately I went to my mind and started thinking about some things and started jotting down some notes and said, you know, I'm not going to be preaching on what I wanted to preach on. I'm going to preach on tragedy in America. And I want to look at some things that I believe that will help us to kind of put some type of thought and some type of idea to it that will help us to think things through. It's interesting that our brother Wes went to the book of Job, and I was thinking about that as he was saying his prayer. In Job 14:1, there the Bible demonstrates to us that man born of a woman is a few days full of trouble. We stop and we consider those particular thoughts from our patriarch Job, and something to consider, still full of trouble. As I was listening to the singing and singing along with you, it was so encouraging to be in such a safe environment, to hear those melodious voices, to have our hearts in tune with God. Friends, I venture to say we shouldn't take these opportunities for granted. When we consider 251 mass shootings this year alone, it's only 216 days in. That's more than one shooting a day. I was considering that, and I thought about the LGBTQ movement on the rise even more and more. It used to be about 3%. Now it's much greater. We stop and we consider people are more fearful today than ever. But it's interesting, Paul told Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear, power, love, and sound mind. Suicide rate among teenagers is up. Suicide rate in America is up 33% from 1999 to 2017, 33%, 45,000 suicides. That's tragic. That's just in America. I was considering some of those thoughts, and it made me think about how people are overdosing today. I know this sounds very tragic and very dark, but we'll get to some light here in a few minutes. As I was thinking about this, corruption is all in the world and our government everywhere. It's just corruption everywhere. Our children are exposed to this. And sometimes I think, what's going on? If you will, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, the text that is worthy of our consideration. Paul says this to Timothy, young gospel preacher, his son in the faith. He said, but know this, that perilous times, that idea of perilous is very important to our thought. The word perilous there literally means stressful. Stressful times. Hard to bear, troublesome. Made me think about something that Jesus was exposed to in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28, when he went to the Gergesenes, and this was two men, and they were in the tombs, and the Bible says they were exceeding fierce, Brother Brian. That's the idea there, exceeding fierce. But know this, that perilous times, exceeding fierce times, will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And notice what Paul tells Timothy to do. And from such people, turn away. It made me think about all of these things. In California, in that mass shooting, the young man was 19. In Memphis, the young man was 39. In El Paso, and I didn't know this, my daughter told me this and I checked it, the young man was 21 years old. But he drove all the way from Allen, Texas to El Paso. That's 10 hours. He didn't even live there. Something wrong with that mindset. But he went there to do that. 21 years old. In Dayton, Ohio, 24 years old. The reason why I brought out these ages, and I'm glad y'all young people are here tonight, because when we consider the youth, we have to be instilling the Word of God, but you have to do your part in making sure that you listen to the Word of God. That you understand that God's word is the best mental health that you can have. And for this reason, we stop and we consider. We consider how people are using their minds full of darkness. So to come to a place where we can feel relaxed and know that we're worshiping God, we're singing praises and being encouraged and edified by one another, it ought to be a blessing to know that there is light even in the midst of all of this darkness. Jude would say in Jude 8 that they would have those who would reject authority and speak evil against dignitaries. Literally, dignitaries are those who are good and upright. Speaking of God and heavenly things, magistrates, kings, the very ones in whom we're supposed to be praying for, as Paul would tell Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. It made me consider some things, because there are those who speak against dignitaries, those who speak against governments, those who speak against those who are in control. We have to watch that. And stopping, it made me think about some other things. As a Christian, what should we be doing? We'll talk more about that here in a few seconds. Yet in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, there the Bible demonstrates to us that we are to obey those who are in authority. We ought to be the best law keepers on the face of the earth. Church, Christians. Of course, we understand that what Peter told those those ones who are in authority, that we rather obey God, we obey God rather than men. But when we stop and we consider 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, we're supposed to be praying for those who are in authority. And for what purpose? That we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and sincerity. Young people, I need you to listen. That we ought to be ones who are following the will of God, and to do that with all of our heart. To be a wise one, if you will. Yet we understand that the law, according to 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 9 and 10, is the law is not for the lawless. This is why when we think about who we are as Christians, we're law keepers. Even in the spiritual realm, Nate, we're law keepers. Jesus would say it like this: if you love me, keep my commandments. We're law keepers. There's nothing wrong with keeping the law. There's nothing wrong with abiding by the law. There's nothing wrong with doing that which is right. And I venture to say, when men or women, it doesn't matter, when they take innocent life, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes, God doesn't like that. And the reason why is because God loves all men. He wants all men to be saved. And so the question is this: how should we respond to a world of hostility? How should we respond to a world filled with immorality, corruption running rampant, fear of losing our own lives, the dangers and perils of drunkenness and abortion and apathy? How do we respond to that? I won't keep you long. As Christians, we must be reminded ourselves that our life is but a vapor. Appears for a little while, it's gone. I'm reminded of what David said a long time ago in Psalm 90 as it relates to our life and how our life is just about 70, 80 and by reason of health and strength, 80 years. But in that verse there, he says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto what, Brother Brian? Wisdom. God wants us to be a people who are wise. And so when I consider Proverbs 1 and verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. It is something about gaining wisdom. And so let us be reminded that we're to fear God. I know that when we consider the media and everything that's going on, they're instilling fear into our minds. But I'm reminded of what Jesus said a long time ago in Matthew 10, verse 28. Fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Really, there's only one that we ought to really be fearing. I'm not saying that when the bullets get the ringing, you don't get the running. I tell folk all the time, I ain't stupid, I just look like this. But we fear God. And we know that when we stand before God, hopefully our lives are right, he'll say, well done. But I'm reminded of what the Hebrews writer said in Hebrews 13, 6, the Lord is our helper. To whom shall we fear? Nowhere. No one. But I want you to look at something real quick. Look at Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 39. I'll be there in a minute. God knows how to deliver the godly. He knows how to take care of his people. But I venture to say, and all of us have been there, and hopefully most of us are not, many don't trust God. Friends, God will take care of us. I just know for a fact that at 6:30 in the morning when those employees went to their job at Walmart, that they didn't expect all of that to be taking place. They did not expect that. But it demonstrates to us how fleeting life is and how dark the world is and how what John said in 1 John 5, verse number 19, that the world lies in wickedness. It's dark. Yet, we have the light of the glorious gospel. We have the word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's actually teaching us how to walk. So that's why we got to stay in tune with the word of God. So what should we do? How can we help those around us? We need to remind people, Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 39. We need to remind people around us that they need to love God. And they need to love their fellow man. And friends, you don't have to be a Christian to love your fellow man. You don't have to be a Christian in order to respect the morality that God stands for. I want my neighbor, who may not be a Christian, to honor morality. Why? Because I want to live with him in peace. He may not, or she may not ever obey the gospel, but if they respect God enough, they'll leave my stuff alone and they'll leave my person alone. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and following, notice what your Bible says. Jesus, as he's talking to these Pharisees, asking what is the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's all of mankind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, this is what we ought to be telling our neighbors. Young people, you ought to be telling your friends, whether they're in Christ or not, you ought to have a respect for God and a respect for your fellow man. It is something when a person, doesn't matter whether they're 18 years old or 88 years old, would go into a place and just start shooting people at random. And this is what hurt me the most, Brother West. The officer, as he is being interviewed, he said, well, the Walmart facility was at capacity. Well, people are shopping. These people, now this is the one, I believe, in El Paso. They were shopping for school supplies and stuff. Of course it's going to be packed. And that bothered me. And here I had my mind, I was going to preach on something else. And when that's, I'm like, hold up, what are we doing? These are things we need to be thinking about. And as parents, we need to be making sure that our children have their eyes open and stop walking around as zombies. Wake up. See what's going on around you. And now some of y'all are driving. Hint, hint. Wake up. See the car in front of you. Or you'll see the bumper in front of you. So it made me think about some things. We ought to help our fellow man to pursue peace, to seek salvation, to look for love with the Lord. In Exodus chapter 20, don't have time to go through all of that, but I found it pretty interesting. In Exodus chapter 20, of course, God had called Moses up on Mount Sinai to meet with him, gives him the law, if you will. He writes the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone on both sides, and as he has given him these laws, the first three pertain to him as being God. The first three. The next one pertains to respect for a particular day, Sabbath, but also spending time in holy convocation and family. The last six refer to how you ought to treat your fellow man and his possessions. I thought that was pretty interesting. That's the same thing Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 39. Love God, love fellow man. And that starts in the home. And I'm thinking, why is this tragedy in America taking place? We have a responsibility to make sure that we do our part in teaching our children right from wrong. What they do with it is their business, but we have to teach them. And so I stopped and I considered this even deeper. What should we do? Well, this is what we ought to be doing. We ought to be vigilant. We ought to be aware of what's going on. In 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, there the Bible teaches us that Satan is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And friends, make no mistake about it, he's trying to devour as many as he can. And I was thinking about this, which hurt me. You had five or six that were shot, a few killed in California. You had three or four in Memphis. You had over 20 in El Paso. And then you had, I can't remember, in Ohio. And I'm thinking, how many people did those shooters send to torment? Friends, that's serious. And it's, I guess the older I'm getting, I'm seeing my mortality. I'm not going to be here that much longer. And it's getting pretty real. That people, because of the actions of another person, life cut short, sent to torment. And possibly there were some Christians' life cut short, sent to Abraham's bosom. So God is teaching us something. We have to be vigilant. Look at Ephesians 5. Look at 15 and 16. We have to be vigilant. We have to know what's going on around us. In Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16, I love what Paul tells the church at Ephesus here. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. See then that you walk. The idea of walk is living. Circumspectly. The Greek word there is akrobat. Acrobat. Tight rope. Straight line. It is necessary to walk a straight line. It's necessary. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We talked about that this morning for those who were here. Redeeming the time, and notice the latter part of that verse, because the days are evil. They were evil in the first century, and they're evil today. And so this life is filled with potholes, and this life is filled with curves and thorns and bristles and things that causes us to be allured, to go off track, to go astray. And God's word is there, and he said, hey, stay on track. Stay in the church. Stay focused. Do my will. And I'm pulling you to me. I'm pulling you to me. I'm pulling you to me. And if I follow his word, I'm going to end up right where he is. You can't help but to end up where God is if you're following his word. Can't help it. But if you get off track, it's just like a surveyor. When a surveyor is surveying land, if he's a degree off at the beginning point, there's no telling how far he's going to be off when he gets to the end. And so this is why when we are considering reading the Word of God, we need to make sure that we are reading accurately and that we are exegeting and taking the scriptures for what they say and being accurate in our interpretation, because an accurate interpretation is going to lead to an accurate lifestyle because of accurate application. So the Word of God is accurate. It's a sword. It cuts. It's beautiful. And so we must pay attention to our families. I got to read this. We must pay attention to our marriages. We have to pay attention to our children. We have to pay attention to the church family. We have to pay attention to ourselves. We have to pay attention to our enemy. Why? Because we want to know what's around us. Look at Luke 13. Because as I was thinking about this, Jesus alluded to this. I believe this is an accurate interpretation, which leads to an accurate application. In Luke 13, verses 1 through 5, Jesus brings this idea up. He said, there was present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know what he's teaching us? That you could be at the wrong place at the wrong time and suffer. Jesus said, take care of it by repenting. Take care of it by living right and being who you need to be. Tell my children all the time, just because you jump in a car and you jump out of it, don't mean one day you're going to jump in the car and jump out of it. Sometimes they pull you out of them. I'm not trying to be dark, I'm just trying to be honest, because this is how life is. It's full of tracks and full of detours and stumbling blocks, and this is the life that we live in. This is why we got to stay in this word and ask God for wisdom and stay with the Lord. Tragedy in America. Time and chance happen to all men, Evelyn. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. Happens to all of us. So why evil, pain, and suffering? Look at Judges 6 real quick. I thought this was pretty interesting. You know, we ask these questions, atheists ask these questions all the time, and they think that they trip us up with these type of questions. I find it pretty interesting that in Judges chapter 6 and verse number 13, Gideon asked pretty much the same question. You know, if God is loving and if God is omnipotent, where was he? Why he didn't stop that? Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all these things happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." He asked that question. Where's the Lord? I thought the Lord was around. I thought he did this for us. He did. But one thing I know about God, and hopefully you do too, that God has left man with free will. You want to know why people do the heinous things like what we've been talking about? It's because God gave them free will. And just as he gave Eve and Adam free will in the garden, and Eve's mind was twisted and turned away from God, when these people start thinking demonic things, they do demonic things. And so, be aware of what's going on, young people. You go to school, whether it is in a small location or a large location, it doesn't matter. Be aware of what's going on around you. Please. And so, men come up with all types of things. Look at Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Familiar passages of scripture here. When men come up with different ways to commit evil, they become champions of sin. Did you get that? They become champions of sin. They become so good at sin that it becomes a perversion. It becomes sad. Yet, Ecclesiastes 7:29, God made man upright, but man has sought out many machinations, many inventions. In Proverbs 6:16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Proud look, a lying tongue. This is where these men fit that did such a travesty this past week. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Friends, we can actually help. You can help your friends. We can help our friends. We can help our friends by letting them know that there is a better way to live. There's a better way to think. You don't have to sin against God and do something evil against your fellow man. And I know things happen in our lives, and it happens in the lives of our friends, but we got to get people to think that, hey, if you do this, then what? And one thing I love about wisdom and love about prudence and love about knowledge is that God has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ, that we can see right now or down the road right now. We can see the end at the beginning. And so what should we do? Number one, we ought to warn every man that God will judge all of our actions. I'll tell you what scares me right now are those individuals that the law had to shoot and kill because of what they did. They're going to stand before God one day. And one thing that God does not like, Brother Estes, is when man does something to man. Because man is made in the image of God. God loves every last one of us. Every last one of us are important to him. Whether in the Lord or outside of the Lord, they're important. And so when people do things like that and commit travesties in America causing tragedy, God says, I don't like that. That goes against my will. So in Romans 2 and verse number 5, men are treasuring up wrath for the day of wrath. But for those of us who are Christians, the day of judgment is a good day. We're looking forward to that day. We're looking forward to standing for Jesus Christ because we've been covered in the blood of Christ and Him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. We're looking forward to that day. How can you look forward to that day when you've done someone that way? But we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer for the things that we have done in this body, whether it be good or bad. Why? Look at Acts 17:31. This is why. I love this passage. Because no one can do it better than the Lord. No one can do it better than God. One thing I love about God is that He's righteous and just. And because of His righteousness, Brother Brian, He has to do what He needs to do. He has to. He has to take care of the evil. He has to. And so this is why as Christians, those things may take place and it may hurt us to our heart. But we sit back and we say, vengeance is mine. That God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay. God will take care of it. So what we do, we give Him room to take vengeance. Like Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. We're like Stephen when he was being stoned. Father, forgive them. We're like Paul while in prison. Hopefully the Lord doesn't lay this to their charge. Acts 17:31. It's an amazing verse. You remember verse 30. Truly at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, command all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. And this is why we can smile, friends. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. Did God raise Jesus from the dead? You better believe He did. Brother West, God will take care of our enemies. He will take care of all of the wrongs. Brother Stephen, He will make the wrongs right. He'll take care of all of this. Keep your hands clean. Keep your hearts pure. Allow God to take care of your enemies. Yes, it hurts. It bothers us. But one thing we do know about God, God will take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. So I leave you with these words. Let's remain focused on the Christ, the cross, and the church. Let's build up one another in the most holy faith. Let's remember that our citizenship is in heaven, not down here on the earth. Let's look forward to eternal glory with God. Let's never forget to be godly in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Let's shine as lights, even in the midst of tragedy and darkness. The God of heaven, He wins. So let's try to do our best to get as many people to see the truth that when we walk into a grocery store, when we enter into an airplane, when we go into a school building, we're not fearful. Truth be told, when I get in a plane, I don't worry about it going down. Because if it does, I'm going up. Did y'all get that?
y'all better get that point.
It goes down, I go up. Just like that. Question. Are you ready to go up? Because the only way to go up, you got to get in. When you get in Christ by obeying the gospel, being baptized into Christ. And then when Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to deliver up the kingdom, 1 Corinthians 15:23-24. And as Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there we'll ever be with the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Our Father and our God in heaven, You're great. We're thankful, even though there's great travesty and tragedy going on around us. You have given us this secure place, and Father, for that we're thankful. We ask that You grant us wisdom according to Thy word. Help us to be true to You. Help us to always know that You're with us. That regardless of what takes place around us, we'll be okay if we're in Christ. That you're concerned about our bodies, but you're more concerned about our souls. I'm so thankful that you have the ability to raise up our bodies, regardless if they are in the deep sea or have been blown up in a plane. You have a way of taking care of that, because you're going to take care of our souls. You're going to change us in the moment and twinkling of an eye. We'll stand before you. Pray to Father that you continue to bless us, help us, and be with our friends and family that are traveling back to their homes in Odessa and Midland and Andrews. Bless them, Father. I'm so thankful to see them. Pray to Father that you bless them according to your will. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, you heard the invitation. If you're a child of God, you need special prayer, let us do that for you as we stand and as we sing this invitation.